Last Sunday, we began a new series in our church called New Things. And I'm going to be continuing on this morning on that subject. But I want to give you the main text that is the kind of the foundation for everything that we're going to be sharing. But over the weeks ahead, we're going to be looking at the new things that have all come to us in Christ. A new covenant, a new name, a new life, new words, a new mind. All gifts from God that are a part of God's redemption of this earth and redemption of the people of this earth. And we get to experience them now. We don't have to wait to heaven before we get to experience the good and the great things of God. He actually has planned for us that we would experience those things now. We have the foretastes of heaven. It's like walking by a bakery on a street, and as you walk by the incredible aromas. Hopefully not odors. The aromas of freshly baked bread and the things that are going on there waft out of that restaurant into our nostrils, and that's kind of what this life is like. We get all the foretastes, the aromas of heaven, the aromas of what's to come, and we see in part now. Then we will see face to face, but it all begins right here. It begins right here, right now, in our lives. As God comes in, He alters our direction, and He changes our thinking, He changes our hearts, and He begins to include us in His plans. And so today I'm going to be talking about some of that. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. In a minute I'll tell you what the subject is about, but it's taken from Isaiah chapter 43. And you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. But it's a prophecy concerning our day, given some 700 years prior to the fulfillments beginning to happen. But it says this. It says, "Be alert. Be present." I'm reading out of the Message Bible. "Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. Wild animals are going to say, 'Thank you.' The coyotes and the buzzards." There's the Message translation for you. "Even the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers in the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose. The people that I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me." And I don't think it's an accident that the Message translation put the coyotes and the buzzards. How many of you guys were buzzards at one day? You know, I was a bit of a buzzard that God had to get hold of. You know, others of you howled in the night. We know that. When the sun went down, some of you went out howling, but there's good news for even coyotes and buzzards, because God has done something for us, and we're going to be talking about some of that today. Now, how many of you seen the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? If you've seen that movie, put your hand up high. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Who has not seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Anyone? Chase, you've not seen that? We're going to have a Willy Wonka night, Chase, and we'll invite you over and you can watch. You have seen it. Okay, there you go. he just didn't want to admit it. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, actually, you know, many of the movies that are produced, whether it's kid movies or other kinds of movies, they have themes in them that ultimately represent the heart cry within human beings. We are moved to write the stories, the main stories of life, the themes of life, the redemption stories, the hero stories, the love stories, the underdog stories, and all these things. The reason why they're written by people is because these deep things affect us, and we're moved by them. Now I guess I can't apologize for this. Tears come to my eyes watching commercials. You know, that's just the way it is. That's the way God made me. But something happens inside of us. And what I believe is there is a resonating inside our spirit when we come in contact with truth, when we come in contact with something that God intends to reveal an aspect of himself to us and his great story. And by the way, all those stories, they're simply shadows. They're simply shadows of the real story, which is Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And so we're going to take a minute or two to look at a little bit of Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory. And I'm going to tell you how it begins. Don't turn it on yet. This is a story, and this is how the movie opens. This is a story of an ordinary little boy named Charlie Bucket. He was no stronger or smarter or faster than any other child. His family was not rich or powerful or well-connected. In fact, they barely had enough to eat. Charlie Bucket was the luckiest boy in the entire world, but he didn't know it yet. And down the street from where he lived, there was a candy store, and Charlie Bucket, whose family was very poor, all he could do was go to the window of the candy store and look inside at the candy. Other kids would go in, they'd buy the candy, but not Charlie, because they were so poor he couldn't even afford candy. And one day, after he had done a little bit of work, he worked for a guy that sold newspapers. He had a little bit of money. He went and he bought his two grandparents, who were crippled, and his mom, who was widowed. He bought them a loaf of bread with the money that he earned. He took it home, and as he was walking home, he passed the chocolate factory, and he brought the loaf of bread home to his family. And as he was walking down the street in a drain, he saw coins, and he reached down. He his eyes lit up. He got those coins, and he ran to the candy store, and he went inside the candy store, and he bought a chocolate bar. And for those of you who remember the movie, he just devoured this chocolate, just took it all in. And the guy from the store was saying, slow down. And then he realized that he had just enough money to buy another one. And now what was happening was Willy Wonka, who owned the chocolate factory, had shut down his chocolate factory for 3 years because people were stealing the recipes for his special candies. And he had recently announced that he had reopened the factory, and there were going to be golden tickets inside certain chocolate bars, 5 of them throughout the world, and whoever got one of those golden tickets would get to come and tour the factory. But not only that, whoever had the winning ticket would get a lifetime supply of chocolate. So that's how the story begins. When he goes in the store, he eats the chocolate bar. He buys another chocolate bar, and he opens it up, and sure enough, he has inside the golden ticket. And the name of this message this morning, Matt, the name of this message this morning is The Golden Ticket. If you want to write that one down. And now, once he had gotten the golden ticket, a man, a mysterious and evil-looking man, came and whispered in his ear. And you're going to hear what was said to him, and that's where we're going to begin this clip. The technical difficulties. I hope you caught the message there. How many of you felt something inside your heart as you're listening to that? Guys, you can admit that, you know. The vibration from the baby. Oh, yeah, okay. That, like many movies, is a picture, isn't it? It's a very similar picture to what God has done for us. And I want to talk about that a little teeny bit. And I want to take you to some scriptures. Let me start by reading again that passage that I shared with you in the beginning, Isaiah 43. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out, don't you see? Open your eyes. And that passage is just one of the many declarations where God speaks to us about a new thing that he would do in the earth. Something amazing, something that he has prepared for us. And in that story of Willy Wonka, I mean, Charlie had no idea that in actual fact, when he was picking up that chocolate bar and got that golden ticket, I mean, all he could see was just some chocolate. But there was a plan in place, a purpose, to find a chosen child who would have the heart that Willy Wonka had, and that he would be able to take over. He would be able to be the heir of what was prepared for him. That's exactly the gospel story. That's it in a nutshell. God seeking out people who would be just like him, who he would make heirs. And we're going to look at that in the scripture. And take you through some of these declarations. And this is just to encourage you today. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And every scripture you hear today is a part of the love letter of God for us. And some of them speak of what God had planned for us long, long before it came to pass. Others were written after it began. And you're going to hear all of these things linked together with one single message, and it's you. It's God and his love and his plan for you and his destiny that he has for your life. So we're going to start in Matthew 13. I don't think you're going to have time to look these passages up, but if you're taking notes, just jot the scriptures down, and you can go read them on your own. So Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth," listen to this, "many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. They longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." Now, please hear this today, okay? From Jesus' time, you know, into the past, many prophets, many righteous people looked forward to seeing what Jesus was going to do. And you have already experienced it. It's already been given to you. What you are experiencing and what is available to you now in God is what they could only dream of in prophetic dreams and visions, and the reality of it has already come for us. And I'm going to share some of those things with you. But these are the kinds of things that you're going to hear in these passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained even before the ages for our glory." We speak of a mystery that was hidden even in ages gone by, but it was prepared for us. It was ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." Can I say it again to you? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. I want to tell you that God was thinking about us even before the foundation of the world. God already had a plan in place. Before this planet and this universe even existed, God had a plan. And that plan, in that plan, of course, Jesus Christ is the center of it. Jesus Christ coming to the earth and the work of Christ on our behalf is the center of it. But that work was for your sake. That work was to make you part of something that belongs to God and something that God had prepared for us and prepared for his Son. And so it was a hidden wisdom in the olden days. But God ordained in all of those ages, in all that time past, He ordained that these things would ultimately be manifest in a glory that would be revealed in us. But then he says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, but he says, but God has revealed these things to us through his Spirit. Listen to Ephesians 1. And please hear the heart of God, you know, speaking as you listen to these passages. I keep asking, this is Paul talking about the Ephesian believers. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that God would give you a spirit that gives you wisdom and revelation so that you can know revelation, so that you can understand. I pray that God would open your eyes so that you can see. I pray the eyes of your understanding, that they may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power toward us who believe. That power that worked in mighty strength, he exerted through Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so here you have the Apostle Paul, having experienced this incredible revelation, going into areas, preaching the gospel, and seeing people come into relationship with Christ, and seeing them believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that what Jesus Christ had done for them, which was to give them new life, that he went for the cross to take their sins, that he came into this world to die in our place, to take the punishment for our sins, so that we would never have to be judged by God. All the judgment that was reserved for us because of our sin, God put on his own Son. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But that's just the beginning. That's just the entrance point. That's the starting blocks of a great inheritance, a great experience in God that God has planned for us. We are partakers. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ of a great kingdom and a great relationship with the eternal and the almighty God. And he has prepared us for this purpose. His plans and his purposes and his energy and his power were expended throughout history for this day, the day that you were experiencing. Now, we come to a worship service, and I want to tell you, worship of God flows out of a revelation of the incredible good things that God has done for us. We love him because he first loved us. Worship is a response. It's a response to the revelation of how great a thing. The Bible says the person who is forgiven much worships much. The person who has a revelation of how incredible it is what God has done for us, that person bows their heart before God in gratefulness. Now, I'm sharing some of these things with you today because I don't want you to forget. You know, to be honest with you, you know, this is what it can be like in the Christian life. When you first come to Christ and you first get saved, it's like a first love. Your eyes are opened, and I mean we are bedazzled by God, and every experience of him it's a new experience, and the feelings that come along with understanding that we are 100% accepted, 100% loved, 100% forgiven by him. You know, and as the days go on, we are enamored, you know, as we read his word and as the revelation comes. But let me be honest with you. After you've been a Christian for a while, things that you've heard before can become rote to you. You know, I mean, we've heard all that before. And we can begin to live our Christian lives that have been open to this incredible thing that God has prepared for us, as though it's just the normal day things of life. Just living our lives like it's just normal that we have got the Almighty God living in our hearts. And it's just normal that Jesus Christ himself has come. The God, the creator of the universe, has come and taken up residence inside of us. We just walk through life like it's just normal. It's just average. You know? that God in Christ put his foot upon the enemy of humanity's neck and defeated him in the cross. Our arch enemy, who is at work in the children of this world with every kind of bondage, every kind of a horrific thing that you see happening in the world, that God sent Jesus into this world to ultimately overthrow that power, to exercise dominion over him, to strip him of his authority. And we can, believers who know this stuff, can walk through life like it's just ordinary, just a normal day. It isn't just a normal day. You didn't just enter into a normal day. You entered into the day that people have been longing for and looking for in ages and generations past. They dreamed of this day that you get to live in. You know, they saw it in types and shadows and pictures and, you know, in the Old Testament. All, you know, it pointed to something incredible. There's an amazing passage in Hebrews chapter 11. If you read that passage, it's the list of the saints of the Old Testament. You know, it starts right at the beginning with Adam and with Abel, and it goes all the way through. Believers, all through the entire Old Testament. And it says there in that passage, two times in that passage, it says, every single one of these people died without having received the inheritance. You get to the end of the chapter and it says it again. And then it says, God having provided a better thing for us. We get to see it and experience it after the cross, after God sends his son into the world. We get to experience the reality of what they hoped for and saw afar off, which is Christ in us. Now, I want to tell you, that's something to celebrate about. See, but it isn't just Jesus in you. Well, I got Jesus in me. I'm going to heaven. You know, the golden ticket in my back pocket. You know, I'm in. I got the golden ticket. No. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand that he fully intends to give you all things. He fully intends that you would be heir of everything that God has. An heir of the entire kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Now, how can a son and daughter who's been given everything walk around ungrateful? How on earth can we walk around as though this doesn't matter? As though it's a little thing? The guy at the temple gate who, comes to Peter and John and ask for alms, and they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You know, so this guy's been sitting lame at the temple gate, you know. All he can do is ask people for money. There's no way for him to live. And they don't give him any money, but they heal him. And he gets up and he jumps and he starts walking. And the Bible says he starts walking and leaping and praising God. Simply because his physical body got healed. Well, physical healing is a pretty good thing. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ came into the world not just to heal your physical body. He came into this world to take a soul, the inside part of you that was separated from God, the inside part of you that was broken, the inside part of you that lived after the God of this world, that was so susceptible to sin and just couldn't get it right. You know, so susceptible to bondages and struggles and the addictions of this world. Character traits inside of us that caused us to hurt other people and caused us to hurt ourselves. And all these things, this inability for us to come through and others to come through. God sent his son into the world to heal us on the inside. That's what you bought into when you came to Christ. You came to the one who is the healer of our entire being. Now, we get that in stages. You know, when Jesus Christ first comes in, that begins a great journey that'll continue all the way to the day we die. And from the day of our birth, our new birth in Jesus Christ, he begins pouring himself in. He takes his spirit, puts it inside of us, and gives us access to the Word of God that is able to do anything that God sends it to do. That Word comes and takes up residence inside of us. We now have access to the mind of God. You know, the wisdom and the heart and the passion and the truth of God has come to take up residence inside of us. And now God begins to transform us. He begins to change us through that Word, that living Word living inside of us. And He takes this mind that was so carnal and so fleshly and so yuck, you know, this heart that was so quickly torn and pulled in different directions. And He begins to increasingly, gradually, moment by moment, make me more like Him. And we don't get it all in this life, you know. We live out these whatever years we're allotted on this life. We don't get the full thing, but we get a lot of it. We get the King of the universe, who is the King of His kingdom, who comes and sets up His throne inside our lives. You know, He is Lord. He doesn't just come in as Savior. He comes in as Lord. And when He comes in as Lord, He begins to exercise lordship that causes my life to become fruitful. I begin to obey His voice. You know, and He drops a little word inside me. And it's a word for someone else. I had this situation happen to me when I was in Vancouver. I was in a church in Vancouver. This is just over the summer. I was in a church in Vancouver, and I'm standing there with Leah and Ryan, and there's a girl in the row in front of me. She's there with her family. They're worshiping, and she isn't. And the words came into my mind. These exact words: black sheep, black sheep. And so then I'm wrestling with God. You know, what do you want me to do? You want me to say that to her? You actually want me to use those words, you know, on a total stranger? And so I wrestled with God, and I couldn't fully obey. And I'm being really honest with you, okay? I couldn't fully obey. I said, God, you got to give me something more than that. And so he did. He just put a vision in my mind, and I won't tell you what the vision was, but it was a crystal clear picture of this girl's life in a symbol. So at a break in the meeting, when people were talking and whatnot, I leaned over, and I said, "Hi, I'm Mike. I'm a visitor here. I'm a pastor." But while I was standing here, God gave me a picture of you. These are the exact words that came out of her mouth. I said that to her. She said, "I'm the black sheep of my family." The black sheep. Those are the first words that came out of her mouth. Now, wouldn't it have been more powerful? You know, I gave her a word that was from God, but had I been obedient to that thing that I doubted so much, you know, and said to her, "I just hear the words black sheep," you know. That's the exact thing that she was feeling in her heart. Anyway, God that works it all together for good. And I prophesied over her. And I told her that I will send her the messages that I preached in this church about black sheep. Did a series on black sheep. But these are the kinds of things that happen. We get to impact and touch people's lives. We get to give away all that God has put inside of us. You know, the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom and the heart that He puts inside of us, we actually get to give away. Not just to people who already know Jesus, but to people who don't know Jesus. That's part of our inheritance. But that happens because a king has come and set up a throne, and he says to us, "Go here and do this, go there and do that." And He brings life to us through that. One more scripture. Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, "I have become the servant of God by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that was kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to you, saints, to you. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ inside you. That's what they couldn't get. It couldn't happen until the cross. But that's what you get. And I don't know how to give it to you in a big enough way. I don't know how to paint the picture large enough for you to understand how incredibly great that is. We're talking about, this is how the Bible describes Jesus, okay? He has no beginning and no ending. Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. By him, the Bible says, all by him and for him, all things are created. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. We're talking about the God of the universe sent by the Father God into this earth for a purpose, on a journey and with a mission. And that mission was to reveal himself to you so that you would come into relationship with him. Not a distant relationship, not going to a church and he's out there and you're out here and you go through a bunch of rituals with the God out there to somehow appease the God out there. You try and do a bunch of good works and hope that you're good enough when you come in, you know, that you don't get struck down and there's condemnation. No, he says, I am making a way for you to come to me, a new and living way. I've taken the veil, the barrier that separated you from me, which is sin. And I'm saying to you, come, I've given you access into my very presence. But don't just come to me, I'm coming to you. I want you to hear this, okay? And I'm coming to a close, by the way, just in case you're wondering about that. This is the Charlie Bucket message. You're a bunch of Charlie Buckets. Okay, Hosea chapter 1. The number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. It will be said to them, you are the sons and the daughters of the living God. Now that's quoted in the New Testament. I'm going to give you that in just a second. In the New Testament, it uses the terminology in Peter. It says it this way. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are a chosen generation, chosen by God to show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Darkness. I mean the blackness of a fallen world, the blackness of a world that is ruled by a dark king. He has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen to this. You, in time past, were not a people. You weren't just his people. You weren't even a people. You were not a people. But now, you are the people of God. Once, you had not received mercy. Now you have received mercy. I don't know if you grasp that. There's only one family on planet Earth. You know, I mean, I have a family. I have a wife and kids, but there's only one family. There's only one dad. There's only one brother. And what God is doing is he is out of humanity through Christ is he is bringing people into his family. Before that, we're not a people. We're like orphans on planet Earth. We're like nations of people who haven't found their real father. And that's how the Bible describes us. We were orphaned. We were fatherless children. But he put the spirit of adoption inside of us by which now we cry out, Abba, Father, you're my father. We were not a people. But now we are the people of God. Imagine that. Anyone who is adopted understands what that feels like. You're adopted. You understand what that feels like. Let me bring this to a close with these scriptures. Revelation 21. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write this down. For these words that I say are trustworthy and true. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now, here's what's new, guys. Now, the dwelling of God is with men, and he shall live with them and shall be in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I make all things new. That's what you're experiencing. Hebrews 1, in these last days the Father has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of everything. Galatians chapter 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law and under its judgment, that they might receive the full rights of sons of God. To redeem them so that all the rights that a son of God, a daughter of God would get, would come to them. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart. That Spirit, the Spirit of God's Son inside of you, cries out, Abba, Father. Listen to this. You are no longer a slave. You're a son, a daughter. And since you are a son, a daughter, God has also made you an heir. Romans chapter 8. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself within us bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. That's what Jesus came to do, to take you into his family, to make you children of God. And if children, then you are heirs, heirs of God. What is your inheritance? You get God himself. Join heirs with Christ. And then he says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. And the earnest expectation that we experience inside of us, we are waiting for the full manifestation of the sons of God. And then this final verse, Romans chapter 8. What about this life? What about what's going on right now? What about this plan of God? And where are we going with it? How great is it? What does the golden ticket get us? You remember Charlie? It's not just the chocolate, Charlie. Ah, you get all the chocolate. But you get all the candy too. You don't just get the chocolate and the candy, Charlie. Do you understand what's going on here? I was looking for someone. I was looking for someone who would guard the secrets. Someone who would be able to take over. I'm not going to live forever. I wanted someone who would take this over. Do you get it, Charlie? It's all yours. I prepared it all for you. I did it all for you, Charlie. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. There it is right there. Those who he foreknew, he also planned their destiny to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that Jesus would be just the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified, made just as if they'd never sinned. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? What do you say when you find out that God intended to give it all to you? What do you say? What do you say when you find out that God intended to give you the greatest prize, which is himself? He is our exceeding great reward. What do you do, brothers and sisters? What do you do when you find out that you just thought you were just going to get the chocolate? And you find out that you get it all, not just now, but for eternity. How do you respond to a God like that? How do you respond to someone who does that for you? What do in response to so great a gift? What should we say to these things? Listen to this. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Listen to this. How shall he not with him also freely, listen to that, freely give us all things? You got the golden ticket. That golden ticket's Jesus. That golden ticket opened every resource, everything that God is to you. What an incredible offer. What an incredible gift.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.